the book 10 of the Golden Calf. Lord describes Moshe Rabbeinu's discovery in heaven. But what happened? and then his reaction when he arrives down on, so to speak, on earth, as he makes his way down the mountain. But it says, Karakon Bay, Pasuketet. Vayhi kasher karavet el ha-machane, vayares ha-egel ha-mucholos. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the egel and he sees the circle of dancing. Vayacharav Moshe, vayashlech miyadav es ha-muchol. Moshe Rabbeinu got very angry and threw down from his hand the ha-muchol. Vayashaber ha-son tachas ha-har, and broke him under the mountain. What did he see that caused him to break the luchos? He saw not only the eagle, but he sees an eagle and he sees the macholos. The macholos are, translate the word macholos, circles. Circles. Now, which people were dancing in these circles? What's the answer?
The ones that came from the tribe.
Okay, perhaps, but in addition to that, perhaps all of the Jewish people were dancing, at least people from all of the Jewish people, with the exception of the women.
No, David.
Well, but the women. None of the women danced. None of the women were involved in Chayde Ege. We see that there are macholos here, circles of dancing, and who is dancing? The men. The women are completely absent. I'd like to take a step back to Parshas Beshalach. Parshas Beshalach, prominent feature, of course, is Kriyas Yamsuf, after which point, the Jewish people have a very strong reaction. And what is that reaction? They begin to sing and praise God. Az Yashem Moshe B'nai Yisrael. It's a very long and developed song. You know, I'm fond of emotion. When you really want to express yourself deeply, it's very difficult to express yourself with just words alone. It's very, very difficult. So if you know anything about love and relationships, there are many, many books of poems, classic poetry, right, that are oriented around relationships. Love poems. Yeah? Love poems. What is the significance? What's the reason? What's the idea behind the concept of poetry in regards to love? The answer actually is simple. The answer is that poetry, with its lilting, slow cadence, right, and stopping point, carries within it the unspoken, the emptiness, right, the open-ended phrases and sentences, and that is what's called poetry. In Parshas Beshalach, I challenge you: look into the Torah, right? Open the Sefer Torah, or you'll see it in the Tikkun, right? The Shira in the Torah is not written any differently. It's written as poetry. It has spaces and stopping points, and it looks nothing like any other normal section of the Torah, because the stopping point carried within it unspoken, non-verbalized feelings. The emptiness, the empty spaces are laden with meaning. You see, because if, when you want to tell something to someone, you want to say, I love you. So how many times do we say the word I love you before it becomes empty? Right? So therefore, it's the poetry. It's the letter. Right? It's the poetic letter that you write, your girlfriend, which is so much more magical than just saying, no, I care about you. But you know, sometimes that's not good enough either. And therefore, you want to continue to attempt to utilize non-verbal expression. And what are they? Give me an example. Song. Song. And after that, after song, you go to your song. That's what Am Yisrael did. They did, they put poetry to song, to music. Right? And song is also, the non-verbalized, but simply the language of emotion. Right? A melody. And they put the poetry, which is not good enough, which can't exactly carry the deepest emotion, to a melody. The melody itself also can't carry the deepest emotion. So they put the poetry to a melody. Okay, is that all you got? Well, after that, right, there are other options, right? There's still, what's the other one? Dancing. Right? There are non-verbal expressions which say more than any word. Right? You give someone a kiss, you know, it says more than, I love you 100 times. Right? You give someone a hug, it's like, you can't express that with words, right? Non-verbal, right? That's the concept. So the fact is that the Jewish people, they sang at Yom Suf, and they sang in poetic. But there's one thing that they did not do. And that is, they did not dance at Yom Suf. They, that is to say, the men. But who did dance at Yom Suf? Said the puzzle, Pasuk B'Shalach, Perek Tzvah, Pasuk Chav, Hatikach Miriam Anaviyah. This is just after the Shiro. Hatikach Miriam Anaviyah, Apos Aaron Hatov Biyada. Miriam Anaviyah took the drum in her hand, Hatikach Miriam Anaviyah, Kal Anashim Achareya B'Tupin, Uvimachol Nos. Here you see the word again. I don't know, I have to check these two words appear anywhere else in the Torah. Not sure. Here they are. Macholos, the word macholos again, dancing. Who danced at Yom Suf? The women. Who did not dance at Yom Suf? The men. Who danced at Chayde Hegel? The men. Who did not dance at Chayde Hegel? The women. What a curious correlation. Okay. Is there a correlation? I think so. Not just a coincidence. The following Torah is very beautiful and very deep. It's my topic for tonight, and you know what? For all time. I just want to keep it. It's not my own idea. I heard it once from my father like years ago. It wasn't his own idea either. You see, Hashem is a computer programmer. He wrote the program. He wrote the program. He designed us. He knows who we are, what we think, what we need, what we like, what we don't like, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. He knows everything. He knows exactly. He knows better than we know. You know, I once read a famous Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky. He wrote such a beautiful sentence. He said, he goes, look, I'm a psychiatrist. He's a famous psychiatrist. He goes, I know exactly about impulses. You know, I study psychiatry. I study human desires, right, and impulses. Let me tell you something. You can say whatever you want, but I have 365 negative impulses. What's she referring to? 365, Mrs. Wilson says. Dr. Schwartz, who says, do not do these things. You might want to do these things at certain points. Do not do them. Right? Now you'll say, listen, I do feel this way. I don't feel this way. God knows how it wasn't relevant to us. God would have told us that. Right? And it's amazing that he's the one who's saying that. You can study psychiatry from today till tomorrow. He says, look, I'm telling you that each of us have 365 negative impulses. It's God who wrote the program. I've said many times in the Gemara and Shabbos. Torah gives it to human beings.
The fact of the matter is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with certain needs. We have emotional needs, intellectual needs, physical needs, emotional, spiritual, financial, etc., etc., etc. And one of those needs is the need for spiritual stimulation. The need for stimulation. You see, all of us, whether we admit it, whether we are in touch with it, whether we're sensitive to it or not, the fact is that we need to connect. God gave us the ability to express ourselves in many different ways, and all of those ways, bar none, are important. They have a time and have a place. And they're necessary for us to tap into and utilize for our successful spiritual living. You see, after Yom Tov, the proper reaction was that it wasn't good enough just to talk. It wasn't good enough to say poetry. That couldn't carry it, all those deep feelings, you know, in a song all either. What was the farthest reaching reaction was to do all those things in addition to dancing. Now, the men not being as sensitive, you know, as being a spiritual and emotional being, you might imagine, right, the men are like, what are we like? What are we like, nerds? When we're dancing? I don't dance. What is that? Maybe we'll sing. That's like, we don't dance. We're men! We're too cool for dancing. What are they like, you know, men, we don't cry, we don't express ourselves. Come on. We'll sing, that's enough. But the women, they do dance. They're not that, they're all right. The girl's all right with emotional expression. And they did what their souls wanted for them to do, so to speak. Needed for them to do. And you know what? When it comes time, a little bit down the road, that there's this awesome, overpowering Yetzer Hara, that we don't even understand what Hashem did it. For Avodah Zarah, for, so to speak, a relationship of sort, divine source of power, some type of service to that power, whatever it means. You think the women didn't have a taiva? Didn't the women go, oh, they're not human beings? How's it possible? The women, only the men danced and the women did it? What, not one woman? There's not one woman that any hate to heard about that. What happened? The answer is, of course they had hate to heard. Of course they did. But that Yetzer had been expressed in a positive way. The men who felt it as too nerdy to dance, guess what? It all came out. It all came out. What people, human beings, really need. And that is that expression, that religious, spiritual, deep expression of spirituality, it came out in a long way. Totally skewed and you know, malformed spirituality. It was ugly and it came out in the worst way. And there they were, dancing around the cow. One of the worst events in world history. You see, this idea is not the only place we find this. You know, you see this, I challenge you. You know, I would say that if you open a newspaper, you know, in the United States of America, all the time you'll see in the news, this Catholic priest molested this kid, and that Catholic priest, you know, molested this one, and you see so much so often. What's with these guys? What's going on with them? And the answer is, it's pushing. I'll tell you what's going on with them. They say, oh, we're too cool, we're too holy, we're much too spiritual to get married. Come on.
sexual intimacy, this is not for us. We're above that. We're, you know, we're so spiritual and righteous and holy. This is not for us. But really? That's all blankety blank blank blank, as Rashi would say. Yeah? Let's see. Let's see. You know, let's see what happens. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in every perfect possible way that he wants us to be. And there's a time and a place for everything. So they don't express themselves in the right way, sexually, physically, in the right way, at the right time, in the right place, the right person. So guess what? You think it's not going to come out? Of course it's going to come out. It's going to come out in the most ugly way. There they are, even molesting little kids, little boys. So who's smarter? Right? The fact is that there's a reality here. There's a reality. I kind of spoke and said, I'm asking you. Don't tell me. I'm asking you to get married. Don't give me the holy trick. Right? We don't want. We learn the Gittin. Gemara's in Hashalach. Right? That man, that Mamalek. Right? The Gittin. Hashem says, we don't allow someone to not be married. We don't allow it. What happens if you're not married? What happens? That guy, he's stuck. He can't marry a Jew, he can't marry a Shivcha. What's going to happen? He's going to do Averis. He's going to do nothing. It's going to come out some way. He's going to end up sleeping with this one and that one and another one. The guy says, listen, just forget it. It's not ideal, but just bring him. But I'll shock you. Pesach is coming. And look at the Sefer Avinu. Mitzvah Tov Leches, the mitzvah to be happy on Yom Tov, says the Sefer Achino, what's the reason, and Yehovah does classically in all the mitzvahs, he stops to give a reason for all the mitzvahs. What's the reason for Yom Tov? Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, Lefishya Adam, Nachon Al Inyan, Shetzaret, Tivo, Lismach, Lebrakim. In basic English, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that people need to party. People need to party. That's what it's about. Bottom line, when you get down to it, what's the reason for Yom Tov? Every mitzvah has a reason. We don't always know, but the Sefer Achinuch is making it, you know, what he called a modest attempt, an attempt to try to understand the basic reason. And the other reason as well, he says, well, the reason is because the person needs to party. Just like a person needs to sleep, and needs to eat, and he needs to rest, he needs to party. That's a fact. A guy needs to let loose once in a while. That's what it is, human beings. You need a drink. You need to have a good steak. You need to be wild sometimes. That's human nature. That's what he says. So Hashem says, it's a tough paycheck. Sefer Achinuch. We run to our Lezakos Seinu, but Hashem wants to protect us. Hashem says, look, I know this is what you need to do. So listen, you know what I'll tell you? This is what you should do. It's you gonna last us a simple lishmo! He says, yes, you can party. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to tell you. Go ahead. Here's the 15th day of Nisan. Go ahead. Eat steak, you know, and drink and dance and be wild for 7 days. Don't work and just party for 7 days. Standing on sukkahs, just dance. Stay up the whole night and dance. That's right. Sechad Beis Shaleva. It's going to come a time that it's going to come out anyway. It's going to have to come out. Come Purim, right? Come Purim. So what happened to Purim? So some guy, I'm so self-righteous, but I hear, maybe you listen, you get drunk, people are drinking, they're wild, and they're dancing. And you know what I say? I'll tell you what I say. The same guy who was suddenly so holy and righteous, look where they are. Look where they are 3 weeks later, no, 3 Saturday nights later. Or maybe 3 years and plus 3 Saturday nights later. What are they? Drunk and some drunk as a skunk on a Saturday night in some floor of a bar. So that's righteous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, it's on me. You know, you can mind whoever you think the way you think. I'll tell you what Hashem says. I'm representing God. You're going to drink 4 cups. I'll make you a little bit tipsy. Tell that. 4 cups of wine. you drink. That's right, you drink. You go, well, that's right, go ahead. Go ahead. And be wild for God. Right? Dance with the Rabbanu Shalom. Eat steaks. Because the fact is that a human being needs simcha. Hashem recognizes, we're not above that. Hashem recognizes that. Do it in the right way, not in the wrong way. That's what the pasuk says. Vayihi b'yom ha-shvi'i, in the Megillah, we read. My parshas Kisis always falls out. The week of Purim. Right? Vayihi ketov lev ha-melech b'yayin. Right? The Gemara says. The pasuk in Megillah says. When Vayihi b'yom ha-shvi'i. Vayihi b'yom ha-shvi'i ketov lev ha-melech b'yayin. On the seventh day, when the melech was full of wine. That's the Gemara. Megillah daf yabez on yabez. Must read. You have to look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Atu ad hashta lo tavu l'day il chamra. What does that mean? On the seventh day he was drunk, and before that he wasn't drunk. He was drunk for the last 186 days. Suddenly, what does it mean on the seventh day he was drunk? Says the Gemara, no! That's not what it means! It doesn't mean the seventh day of the party. It means the seventh day of the week. Says the Gemara, so why is the Megillah telling that to you? You know why? Because the Megillah wanted to highlight it, wanted to contrast. The pasuk wanted to contrast the way a this dirty shagit, this maneuver, this mushkin, this way this guy drinks, and the way a Jew drinks. So why does it say on the Yom HaShvi? Because it wants to highlight a Jew drinks on Shabbat on Friday night, and you know what? Trust me, I'm not a proponent of alcohol. Trust me, I'm telling people to drink abuse. God forbid. But you know what? When the Gemara says, the Gemara says elsewhere you should make kiddush on wine, it didn't mean drinking. But that's true. It didn't mean drinking. That's not what it meant. It meant alcohol, wine. Like grape juice is a new invention. And yeah, you can drink a glass of wine on Friday night. Yeah, and it means you get a little tiny, teeny, tiny buzz. Yeah, so you get a buzz. That's right. That's what Chachamim wanted. What? Why? What happened? Look, let's read the Gemara. Amar Rabba, Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat Haya, Sheyisrael Ochlin V'Shosin. When a Jew drinks, eats and drinks Maschilin B'Divrei Torah. When a Jew drinks, he starts saying B'Divrei Torah, B'Divrei Tishbachas, and saying Zmiras, and thanking and praising the Rosh, and giving brachas. Amar Rabba, Kachavim Sheochlin V'Shosin. When a Gentile, when a guy drinks, ain't Maschilin, and you know what he started? Ain't Maschilin B'Divrei Tiflis. That whole story about... Everybody grew up with, oh, he wants to see Vashti come out dressed in a crown and holding her crown, right? And as Pastor says, and means completely undressed. Where do you think we know that from? From this Gemara right here. That's what happened. It was Shabbos night in the Yidden. They were making Kiddush and singing and dancing, and that's what the Jew does on Shabbos night, the Friday night. And seeing Zmiras mean hold his individual, and drink a lachaim, Hashem Shemayim. And this Shagit, you know what he does? Everyone there is drunk. So the Gemara right here tells the story. Look it up. They're all talking about which one's hotter. This girl, that girl. She's cuter. No. Our people are cuter. She has a better figure. She's a cuter. No. Let's see. And the Melech himself, he says, look at the Gemara there. He says, you guys think you're a girl of a man? Look what he says. Look at the lashon of the Gemara. It's unbelievable. The Gemara says, Kli, listen to the term. Kli, sha'ani mishtamesh bo. The vessel that I use, you hear he's talking about his wife. Can you imagine? The vessel, the Kli that I use, ain't no element, Madhya, she's not, it doesn't come from your nationality or your country or your country. Al, rather, she comes from whatever she comes from, and you want to see what she looks like, I'll show you. Says the Gemara, what's the point? Why does it say, Vahim Ha'am Ashri, come on, to show you! To show you the difference between a Jew drink and a guy drinks. Specifically to show you that. That we have Friday night is holy. You know, sometimes I say, the reason why never in the world we need Saturday Night Live. So many of us, nice Jewish boys. Saturday Night Live and all other types of, you know, associated shows of its ilk. We need Saturday Night Live because we have Friday Night Day. But I promise you, if you had Friday Night Live, I could promise you wouldn't need Saturday Night Live. Just so much of our world is Friday Night Day. And Saturday Day Day. We just sleep the whole time. It's so meaningless, so empty, so unfulfilling, so
And that's because we don't care to make it fulfilling, to make it sinner, to make it a good party, to bite in, you know, with a full heart and to buy in to what's supposed to be happening. And trust me, there's a lot happening. When you go to a proper Jewish, you know, hopefully a proper Jewish home, man, beautiful. But that's it. That's what the Gemara wanted to tell us. That goy need alcohol as an escape. You know, I want to tell you something. The Clemens College, great. The Clemens College, I wish I could, you know, I had the time to go into detail of who he was. But you just, you know, you have to trust me. He's one of the greatest, and he's a fascinating personality. Unbelievable personality. But the Bart is also fascinated by him. He's unbelievable person. So he was a leader of the Jewish people in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he perished there. And one of the things that he wrote, which he buried and published in manuscript after the war, is his personal journal, personal diary. And in there he writes the following entry. I don't have it in front of me, but I do have it at home. The following entry. It's called Savaziris. You can find it in English as well, but the journey, the personal journey of a Hasidic Rebbe. Amazing. And he writes that this following context. He writes, every human being has a need for stimulation. That's the title. A need for stimulation. This idea. Everybody has a need for stimulation. And he talks about this. I mean, of course, I'll embellish, you know, what he's saying. But the fact is that he gives these examples. People do kinds of crazy things in order to stimulate themselves. Right? They'll go bungee jumping. What's so exciting about bungee jumping? I have no time to, you know, make that more interesting and exciting. Use your own imagination. Too much to say here. But there you are, flying down. The people love it. People with a ton of money. Skydiving? What's so exciting about skydiving, right? You jump out, Hashim! Right? I don't know. Guy, I should tell you, like trying to convince me to go skydiving. Right? Like, what's the rush? You know what the rush is? The rush is that you almost die. Suddenly you feel a rush of energy, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm home. And then suddenly your life is saying that it's like a jolt. It's a jolt. It jolts us into reality. It jolts us. It stimulates us, right? And if human being craves stimulation, horror movies, right? You go to horror movies. Well, what's the way of a horror movie? People come out of horror movies shaking and scared, you know, like just terrifying. Like, how was it? Like, it was amazing. It was amazing. What was so amazing about it? Right? What is it amazing? Why is that amazing? You're scared stiff. But people want to be stimulated. Right? I remember Elton John in the 80s. He used to have this song called Sad Songs. You can sing it if you want. But basically, sad songs, people like sad songs. Sad songs, Elton John. I'm bringing you a ride. Okay? So, you know, what's the pshat in the nigga? What's the pshat in the nigga? The pshat in the nigga is, people like they love tear jerking. They want to cry. You know, like why? It's stupid. But sad songs that make them they suddenly feel like they're stimulated. There's something there. Like, people go to soap operas. Never. Like, they feel so bad. Like, people watch soap operas. It's such a never. Such a shame. You watch soap operas. What kind of life do you have? Right. So but the pshat is never. These old ladies, all this, all that. That's it. They want that stimulation. They need that. They crave. Like, wow. Johnny's gonna dump her. Oh no, they're gonna be back together. Oh, right. And people watch for days, for weeks and months and years. Never. Right? And same concept. What do people do? The same people who have Friday Night Dead, and they can't watch, they have to wait till Saturday night to get Saturday Night Live. What do they shop? I've told this before. They go to the store and every shop, they buy 1,500 newspapers and they're busy reading the magazine. They have to have some type of stimulation in the shop. Nothing less. A tragedy of tragedy. But the fact is, guys, let's face it from the beginning, from the ground. The fact is, you see that human beings, like the Rebbe was saying, he writes this openly. He goes, we need stimulation because it's your choice. We need stimulation, either through Torah or through Tefillah, or it's going to be through horror movies and novels. It's a fact. You can swear up and down 100 times on face, I won't believe one word of it. Hogwash, lies. Don't tell me.
Don't tell me that, yeah, that's it. It's just this, but I don't get, you know, just, I live my life like flatline as a sheker. Something turns you on. So you're gonna get, something's gonna float your boat. Something's gonna make you excited. That's a fact. And people are paying money going roller coasters. It's like suddenly they feel that stimulation, right? News tragedy. Wow! Let me see. Like people die. Wow! How many people died? It's like very exciting. But the fact is that we need that. That's a human being. It's the human condition. There's nothing negative about that. But the point is that people are using it in the wrong way. I like to say the following. Sometimes I say it like this. In every county in the United States of America, there are two sides. Every county, post office, because it's the law, and a boss. I challenge you on one county, United States of America, doesn't have one. At least two, even in Hicksville of Hicksville. Every single one has a post office and a boss, because work is over 5 o'clock. And what are they going to do? What are the people, what are the residents, what are the citizens going to do? The citizens of the United States of America, what are they going to do after 5 o'clock? What would happen if the TV didn't work? What a sad life. Can you wake up and face this? Think about that. What if all, multimedia receptors froze for a month? The world is so hungry. And you know, we're so hungry. Let's just face it. Let's call it as it is. There's nothing bad thing about that. But choose your circle. Choose your dance. It's either Macholos or Macholos. It's one or the other. You can dance that at Yamsov as much as you want. You want to turn it down? Turn it down. But I'm telling you, there's an automatic alternative. There's nothing in between. To choose your circle. You know, sometimes I say that's the reason why we dance out by Simchas Torah. Dafka! That's where that comes from. Chacham and Dafka, we're going to dance. We want to show who and what we're dancing about. We want to get out of dancing. We want to get out of Machalas. We're going to say, look, we're dancing around the Torah. We're dancing around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're dancing with Simcha. That's the way we want to live our life. Because the same guy who says, I'm not going to drink a brother, that's not for me. Come on, what is this, Rabbi? Everyone's wild, too wild. That's not holy. Really, I challenge you. The same guy. I'm telling you, I'll bet my mother, the same guy. There he is dancing at some disco with girls, drunk. Okay, maybe it's not going to happen this week. But I guarantee it. The same way, that's it. God has broken made you. You can't lie to the program. So choose your circle. Choose your circle. You know how many thousands, maybe tens of thousands of really the satisfaction in the world. Maybe tens of thousands, you know how many of Israelis are in the Far East? India? Asia? Thousands of What happened? You know, go ask them. Go ask them what happened. You know what they'll tell you? They're searching for spirituality. You could tear Korea. Thousands, maybe tens of thousands. What's wrong? What is wrong? They're searching. They're hungry. Shita. Of course! But where's Shabbat? Where's Tefillin? Where's Mitzvahs? Where's Kedusha? Where's Tara? Where's Tefillah? Where's spiritual stimulation? As the Shlomo used to say, that's how. He says, look, you want to know why I make Nuna Guna for singing shul? I'll tell you why. Because look what's going on in the schools today. It's like going to a restaurant. He just said it very straight. He goes, it's like going to a restaurant. You go to a bad restaurant, guess what? You're never going back there. It was terrible.
So you want to tell me with a straight face, you want to tell me, listen, let's go out to the same place? That guy's never going to come. He's never going to go back there. So same is true of the Beit Medrash, same is true of Yeshiva, same is true of Torah and Tevila. The people are, they go to shul one day a year and they hate it. Well, look at the shul that they went to. And look at the shul that we go to. Is that spiritually inviting? Well, it's just a joke and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. So you tell me with a straight face, how much of a chance do we and our children have? What kind of machol is there now? Is it singing and dancing around the Shabbat table? Or is it singing and dancing around the Super Bowl party? The guy would keep you from putting on tefillin, alright, whatever. The poor dad can't put on tefillin. And then the kid walks in front of the television during the World Series. You could sure as heck get a rise out of the dad. Get away! Get away! I remember when we were little kids, I didn't go over the TV. I was a little boy, little Alexander, I'd have to watch TV. Alright, forgive me. Sunday afternoon, you're like, you know, to go and whatever, Tarzan, whatever something is. Yeah. Sports. And my grandfather was showing me to come and stand in front of the TV. I get the imagery. He says, come and stand in front of the TV. Like this. And he say, oh, Zayi, move, Zayi, move, Zayi, move. He would say, what is this? Shtus. Shtus. Fake. Mishigas. He would say, like, okay, yeah, Shtus. Okay, with a little kid, okay, that's 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, say. But your whole life, never. People in the nursing, they go, they grade the same Irish guy. What a tragedy. It's just a spiritual tragedy. You know, this issue, this need for stimulation, it comes out, you know, in life in general. But I want to say something. To discuss this with Dr. Zabarsky. I was discussing this with Dr. Zabarsky, and she told him over this idea. One of the things he mentioned to me, he said that sometimes he tells his students, he says, you know, it's impossible for guys like us, who grew up with movies and college TV, and et cetera, it's impossible for us to give it up. It's just impossible. We're too connected. It's too much in our gut. But he just tells them openly, I wouldn't say that way. I wouldn't say that way. It's impossible to give it up. He just look, if you're too connected to it, the only thing you can do is replace it. Replace it. Replace it. Right? Replace it with something better, with something more stimulating, with something more holy, something more fulfilling. I want to tell you, Pesach is coming up and the summer is coming. And it's something I find myself saying again and again. You know, the fact is, you'll tell me, as I heard from him, as my only tell you to know already, as you go say, listen, you know, I'm just relaxing over the summer. Let me not tell you what I think about that. Right? That is, quote of the day, is blankety blank blank. Right? In its untruthfulness. What do you do? You wake up in the morning and stare at the wall? Then you do nothing. That's a lie. Now you might not realize that you're a shackle. But you are. Right? Because wait a minute, what are you doing over Pesach? Nothing. I'm not doing anything. You have a month off. That's right. I'm relaxing. That's a lie. Where have you been? You bring me a lunch. That's a lie. What are you going to do? No, I'm not making any plans. I'm going to do nothing. There's no such thing as doing nothing. Look at the Mishnah Ksuvot Parakei, Mishnah Hei. A guy could divorce his wife. He's a millionaire. He says, I want you to work. She says, I don't want to work. You're a millionaire. It's fine. Here's a gift. Says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to let her work. What are you, to do nothing? The Gemara says, the Mishnah is talking about this. The Gemara is talking about, Ein Hashima, maybe Ella. What do? You do nothing. You be bored? You do nothing? You do Averis. Tell me how my students hear. You do nothing, you do Averis. You do nothing, you do Averis. Because you know what? Because the human being needs stimulation. We can't live without stimulation. We shrivel up and die. We'd rather have negative stimulation like the Rebbe was talking about. Negative, horror, awful stimulation than no stimulation. We'll do anything. We crave stimulation. As human beings, we have an neshama. We need stimulation. Don't tell me to do nothing for 2 months in the summer.
You start off the first day, you wake up, and then what? And then what? And the TV is on, and this group is going here, and the old friend is going there, and this girl is going there, and this girl is going there. You're nothing, you're stupid. You're just not thinking. I'm telling you, when I was a kid, when I was young, one of my father told me, you're not going to waste time. I don't let you do nothing. Go to sleep. You're tired, go to sleep. You're not allowed to do that. You can say it like that. It's not allowed. There's no such thing. There's nothing to do with it. So I encourage you, I'm telling you, tonight is the summer, tonight is Pesach. You have 2 weeks before Pesach. What do you do? Okay, so if your brother has things to say that. Okay, to say that. What about the rest of the time? It's suicidal to think that you to say once out of your mouth, oh, I don't want to lose any spirituality. I want to be holy. Rabbi, people come up to me, Rabbi, how do I make sure that, you know, I don't lose my you know, the spiritual growth that I made over the year? It's simple. Just engage in spirituality. Don't open yourself up to meaningless narishkeit. Or else, of course you're gonna fall into it. It's obvious. And it's true for the summer, and it's true for it's true for Pesach, and it's true for life. You know, to not be stimulated is to invite negative alternatives to Torah stimulation. That's a fact. They come home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and what do they do? Look what they're doing. They work hard all day. And what happens in Hicksville, Pennsylvania, or wherever? What does a gas take a poll? What do people do after work? So there's either the Beis Medrash, right, or spiritual endeavors of any type, or the TV or the bar. Everyone knows. Cheers. You go 5 o'clock after work to the bar. Cheers. That cheers. That's a window into the United States, to the world. What a sad life. You know what? I feel sometimes I best express it with the notion that I really learned from the Kuda. And that is why I like the title, The Gift of Pain. The Gift of Pain. See, the gift of pain is the most wonderful gift in the world. What would happen, suppose I do this on Russian, what would happen if a person never got hungry? Right? Or, let me say it this way. A person's body, and his body never told him, and made him uncomfortable that he was hungry. His stomach didn't hurt. That's it. He would go for 1 hour, right? His stomach didn't hurt. That would be a disaster. Right? 2 hours, 3 hours, like, what happened? I go to bed at night, and I forgot to eat. Oh, I have to say that. I'll eat tomorrow morning. And when I have time, like, tomorrow morning comes, I have work to do. I gotta get to school. All right, I got to school. Fine. Then I'll eat lunch during the break. During the break, I have to copy my friend's homework. I can't do that. All right. In between classes, I have to do a report. And then after I practice in the gym. And okay, I'll do it. I'll leave 6 7 o'clock at night. I have to go out with my girlfriend. I promise her. And 10 o'clock, guys. No, I'm busy with preparing for the next day, whatever it is. And after a couple of days, you're like, oh, darn it, you know, I passed away. Shoot. I knew I should have eaten, you know. So stupid of me. I should have eaten. It was so dumb, you know, what an idiot. So can we recognize that? Of course, that's what the whole time. Right? But just not in this example, what Hashem. Because God gives us the gift of pain. You don't imagine, you didn't eat the whole day and your stomach is hurting. You're like, oh, you're angry. I hate God. He tortures me that my stomach is hurting. I hate him. He just loves you. It's the biggest gift in the world. You didn't feel that. You shrivel up and die. I knew the story of a guy who had no sensations of pain in his arm. And he was near the fire. And his arm caught on fire. He didn't realize his arm caught on fire. It was getting burned. And he smelled, what is that? Can you imagine? What a tragedy. The gift of pain is a beautiful gift. Beautiful gift. It saves us. And just as that's true physically, it's true spiritually. We all have this gift of spiritual pain, of discomfort. You know,
Has anyone here ever sinned? Raise your hand if you ever sinned. Yeah? Okay, you ever sinned? You ever feel a little bit low after? Adam, you ever like, I don't know, kill anyone and feel a little down after this? Yeah? It's like a low feeling. Yeah? You do something wrong and you feel bad. Right? Or you ever like watch, you know, too many hours of TV in a row? You sat there and you spent, you know, Sunday from 9 o'clock to 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., you know, like watching TV. I feel a little low. What does that feel? Right? If you do something, make a mistake, do something really wrong, do something, you know, whatever it is, you engage in something which is you feel negative, negative about emotionally and spiritually. You know what that means? That's the gift of pain! That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending you a Yetzirah to save you! To save your life! Your neshama is screaming, feed me! I'm starving! Give me a bracha! Give me a mitzvah! Something! Give me a Dvar Torah! Give me something! I'm dying! I'm starving! Says the Kuzari, just like a person needs to eat, physically, he needs to eat that physical nourishment 3 times a day. So too he needs to daven have spiritual nourishment 3 times a day. And learn every morning and every evening. He needs it. Sometimes I think about it this way. When we eat a meal, we nourish our physical selves. And then after the meal, we bench. Okay, you could say that we're saying thank you. But perhaps you could say, after we nourish ourselves physically, then we nourish ourselves spiritually. A special mitzvah to do right after we eat. They go together. Because just like we eat 3 times a day, we have to eat first 3 times a day. So what do we need to do? Just like you need to eat properly, you need to eat spiritually properly. Right, since I think about it like this, you know, like after a fast. So what happens? Monday Yom Kippur, you're famished, you're starving, you're weak, right? You come home, you can barely walk, right? And what does your mom put on the table? What does your mom put on the table? You know, here's a whole big, a big bowl of what? Of Mike and Ike's? Wow, mom, how's your fast, you know? Like, there you are, you're eating. Well, why not? Why is it funny? Because it's ridiculous. Even that, I'm starving. I can't eat that. Yeah, but you're spiritually starving also. We're starving. We're so hungry. We long for something beautiful, for something glorious, for something real, for something right, for something fulfilling, for something stimulating and spiritual. And what are we? And that's how we feel on a Saturday night. That's true. That's how we feel sometimes in life. That's how we feel on Sunday afternoon. What are you going to do? You're going to eat junk food? You're killing yourself. You're starving. Your neshama is screaming out, give me a bracha! Please, it's my Torah, it's my Gemara, feed me! Anything, what do we give it? Oh, we say, oh listen, I'm not in the best, I'm moving for something. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something here in the car, I'm cruising around. Ooh, there's a nice, strip joint. That's perfect for me. That's what I'm longing, that's what I needed. There's a good bracha. Come on, let's not kid ourselves. Put it on the table. Yeah, but it's your neshama that's screaming. You're killing yourself. It's suicide. You're destroying yourself spiritually. And that those bad feelings, those are not bad. I hate the fact that I feel down. Try getting out of bed and go daven and learn and make something of yourself. You know, do a mitzvah. You had that feeling, that feels good, keep doing it. Every day. Doesn't mean all day, every day. You can have a job, nothing wrong with that. But just like you wouldn't forget to eat. That's what our neshamas need. Don't say heavy, what do you mean heavy? Look at the world, look at the empty world. And look at the Torah, how sweet it is. How good the Baruch Hu gave it to us. Ashreinu v'tav Elokeinu. Yeah. like Yishayahu HaNavi, you know, he's our dietitian, you know, he's our nutritionist, and he says, listen, you know, I call Tomei Lachula Mayim, you know, whoever needs, whoever's thirsty should go to the water. The Gemara says, what water? Water is Torah, right? The pasuk that I left in Tehillim. Right, the pasuk that I left in Tehillim. Right? David HaMelech says, Ki Tzviya Nefesh HaKeka, V'Nefesh Ra'eva Milei Tov, look it up, and he just Kuf Zayin. Not mistaken. No. Samach Zayin? But he is biyad. It's a song in the niggun, right? As soon as I heard the word, I loved the song. I like all things. I'm not a music guy, but the fact is, the word is so. I don't care if it's the worst song in the world. It can be out there as well. The word is so deep and beautiful and meaningful. He is biyad. Can I come down to you? The word salvea, salvata. He is biyad nefesh. Because Hashem, says David HaMelech, you and your Torah, you are masbiya, you satisfy. You satiate. You satisfy. Right? Nefesh shokeka, the starved, the thirsty soul. The nefesh ra'eva, and the hungry ra'ev. Right? The hungry soul and spirit, you fill up. And I once went to the Taish Tepasuk, no, it doesn't mean, oh, any soul who is hungry. No! It means every soul, colon, right? Which is hungry. There is no soul in the world that's not hungry. There is no human being in the world that's not hungry for something beautiful, for something real, for something searching and thirsty for salvation and fulfillment. There's not one person in the world that way. But people chase all kinds of things. Money, and power, and job, and glory. But they're searching for something. They're searching for something. That's it. We say on Shabbos, next time we say it, we should mean it. Sabeinu mitulecha. What are we asking? I beg your Lashem. I still beg your Lashem. Sabeinu mitulecha. Rabbanu the Amakula. Hashem. Sabeinu mitulecha. Let's translate the words. Hopefully we say this every Shabbos. You don't have to look for other pesukim on the Gemara. Sabeinu mituvecha, Hashem, fill us up. Fill us up, mituvecha, from your goodness. Kachen mitzasecha. We want to fill up on Torah. We want to fill up on mitzvah. We want to fill up on spirituality, on holiness. Hashem, help us. Help us not feel needy. Help us get what we need. From the straight, you know, intravenous from the Torah and mitzvahs. That's what we need, especially if you're young, you're 17 years old. You need more than you need that. You need it then more than any other time. And I once wanted to suggest that the reason why adolescents have such a powerful sense of longing of searching, such a more than any other time of age, of life, like when adolescents are so, you'll call it thirsty, right? So, you know, such longing, such deep longing for something right, right? They almost feel, so many of us feel lost. Almost. You know what I once thought to suggest, you know what the reason is? Because we only get our Yetzer Hara, excuse me, we're Yetzer Hara, we only get our Yetzer Hara at 13 years old. They're like little infants. Our true neshamas, our Yetzer Tov, are tiny. Right? Hashem, you'll be parents one day, you know, a little baby. He can't go between, you know, 6 hours between meals. He wakes up three times in the middle of the night to eat. What's wrong? I fed you already. You had dinner at 7 o'clock and you come back to breakfast. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. A little small baby, you know, baby, it needs nourishment constantly. It needs a lot of nourishment. It can't go so long without nourishment. So that's what we're desperate for. I don't let anyone else think, people can say whatever they want. I don't buy one word of it. And you know what? You can draw your own opinion, but I have the life in the world
and my life experience and the world experience, it's so clear, it's so obvious to me. Now, I hope that certainly don't hope that that doesn't sound cocky, but it's just so, I just know, and I knew in the deepest place how right, how true this idea is. People can say what they want, but the fact is, you know what a 14-year-old could be? A 15-year-old, more than any other time in his life. Those are the years! More than any other time! Let him do stupid, you know, let him go to high school when he's 50. I know it sounds crazy, you know, but that those are there more than any other. He's a baby. He needs nourishment. He's stuck. Never. He grows up misfigured forever. He's undernourished. He never develops. And never. Look at that, our world says, look what we're wasting our time with. We say, oh yeah, you know, when the kid's 18, he'll grow up. What a sad parent body. What a sad world. What stupidity. Stupidity. Mamish stupidity. I never dreamt of that when I moved to Israel. I'm sorry if that sounds strong. I never dreamt when I was with Israel how it would affect my children. My kids know more than I. It's unbelievable. My little kid, he's 8 years old, he knows more than he knew. Whatever, I'm fine, we'll compare. I'm saying it's unbelievable. And the kid's, he's 8. The kid is 13, 14, 15, 16. You know they're searching. But what are we doing? Okay, the past is the past. What are we doing? Let's just say it as it is. You know, again, it's not enough to fix the world right now. Let's just acknowledge the truth. So what do they say? Listen, let them touch girls. Don't be so firm. Don't be shamanigia. I mean, when you grow up, you'll be shamanigia. What? I'm saying, the kid's starving. Why don't you give him something real? Give him something real. I learned with the teenagers, sometimes they never heard. I can't even believe. Like, what? Are you serious? This is so interesting. Hey, not deep anymore. No, I do. David tied my hand. You know, I have to learn the fourth verification. Not as interesting. Say the truth. I mean, I'll be dabbing every day. But I remember Hashem, please. If anyone does that, make it interesting. Make it exciting. Make it thrilling. Help us. That's a feeling. You're learning that Hashem. So dabbing. With more kavana, dabbing. So if anyone does that, Hashem, help us feel fulfilled from this Torah. And you know what? I have a little secret of you. Part, you know, with all the Rechilas of David. If that doesn't do it for you, so drop it behind. Leave it behind you. Don't you dare walk out of there and say, you know what? Gittin doesn't float my boat. That would be a tragedy. You know what? Because maybe if Gittin doesn't, Moikat will. And maybe Moikat will. The Gila will. Or Brachas will. Or Chumash will. Or Mishnah will. Or Navi will. Or something will. I promise you. Because it says the same Malkeinu Kesaretzecha. Everyone has their own Chelek in Torah. But people say, I can't do it. I'm going to something else. The reason why you're being punished is because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with joy. Yeah? Yeah? Everybody knows that? You didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with joy? It's an Aveir. The Hasidim say different shah. Like in Parshas Kisisa, that no. Why did Moshe break the luchos? They say the following shah. Why did Moshe break the luchos? Not just because they sinned. Because you saw they were dancing. And then we started. Right? Right? Yeah, the point is that he sees them. You're dancing over Aveira. Shame on that. If you do Aveira, you're happy, you're dancing, he's in Aveira. The Chassidim say a different shot, right? In this, that shot, in this pasuk. Tachas Hashalom, Vaz Hashem, Lekecha, Besimcha. Not only did you not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comma, with joy. You joyfully did not serve God. You follow? That's the Chassidish shot. Beautiful. You hear me? You joy. Simple pshat. You didn't serve God with joy. Hasidim read it. You joyfully did not serve God. But there was one genius in the Sefer Dagi Musar, in the quote, I don't know who it was, he doesn't say it, who said it same pshat. It's the same pshat. It's just a continuum. First, you don't serve God with joy. You don't serve the Rosh with simcha. But you know what happens next? Look out into the world and look at the people who don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with joy. You know what happens next? As soon as if they don't have joy serving God, guess what? Not only do they not serve God, they begin to hate serving God. And if they could get into a situation where they don't serve God, they do it joyfully. First, they don't serve God with joy. But you know what happens next? That's only the beginning of the end. That ultimately what it ends up is that they joyfully do not serve God. Oh, school was canceled, Baruch Hashem. Oh, davening was, rained, they couldn't get the shachar. Wonderful, Oh, I don't have to keep Pesach this year. Wonderful. Never. What a loser. That's in Judaism? If you don't have, what comes out? What's the upshot? What's the upshot based upon our teaching, our formulation and expression tonight? It's going to be simcha. It's going to be simcha. It's either going to be simcha doing mitzvahs, or you're going to have simcha not doing it. Simcha doing that. Hey, one of the two. Pick your joy. Pick your joy. You choose. Choose your circle. Either learn to and look deeply into yourself and into Torah and work on it and try to be happy, have simcha doing mitzvahs, or if God forbid, chas v'sham, right? Being happy doing Averis. Happy when you go ahead and do Avodah Zarah. Dance when you get to do an Egel. Not only doing an Egel, I'm going to be happy that I do Averis. And in the end, there's a very, very short, true story. A very short, true story about a city who actually lost their ability, lost their pain sensation, lost their mechanism, the pain sensing. And guess what happened to them? They lost their pain sensors. You can imagine what happened next. The whole city. You know what happened next? Obviously, they self-destructed. They got destroyed. They had ailments. They couldn't feel pain. The true story. You know what happened? Where? It happened in Parshas Vayera. And the city is called Sodom. You know, Sodom had tzaddikim. And God says, I'll save them if they have any tzidkus. Show me the tzidkus, I'll save them. But you know what? There were no tzidkus. You know why? Oh, there had been tzidkus. But no longer. Because they murdered them. They murdered them. And that's the story about Abraham. We have tzidkus. We have the tzidkus inside of us. We have the tzidkus that sometimes rises up, that wants to do the right, that wants to be holy, that wants to daven for real, that wants to do mitzvahs, and never, some of us, sometimes, somewhere in the world, we squelch the tzidkus and say, no, down boy, we don't want you. But you realize, if you only would just run with that tzidkus a little bit, just put it, even if he comes out sometimes the Yetzer Hara works, and sometimes the Yetzer Hara, just give yourself, let yourself, feed yourself a little bit spiritually, give the tzidkus something. Because that tzaddik can save us. After 120, and even in this world, that tzaddik can save us. Each of us has that tzaddik. Don't kill him. Don't kill the tzaddik inside of us. Allow us to push him more. Run with it. It's a gift. It's the gift of spiritual pain that Hashem has given us. Halavai, we should be zocher to develop ourselves spiritually. To develop to have care, true care by the Rebbe Hashem. To be zochah, to be able to one day soon see the Rebbe Hashem more and more in this world, and hopefully be among those who are in his closest place to him. Thanks for listening.